Welcome to another episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Cultures, where I make a personal connection to today's trending topics, or not. I'm your host, Tamika Cody. And joining me today is a special guest who I will be turning the mic over to, my son, Anthony. Anthony, welcome.
Hi, Tamika.
Oh, he called me Tamika, not Mom. So why don't you tell the audience today why you are taking over the podcast?
Well, mainly I'm doing this because I have a homework assignment due on Monday, and I got to get this done. And this was the easiest thing I could do was a podcast. I was like, my mom already does podcasts, so I figured, like, why not? She could probably show me how to do a podcast a little bit. It's a cool learning experience, and it's not that.
You hear that, parents? Engage with your children. Engage with your children, and they might come to you for things that you never know that they need your help for. So, again, I am not the host of the show today. Anthony is the host of the show today, and he's going to talk to you all about what the topic is all about, and I'm just going to sit back and answer his questions.
So today our topic is vinyl digging, because my podcast assignment is for a music class, and I wanted to keep it something about music. And the first thing that came to my mind with my mom was vinyl digging, because we went vinyl digging over the summer, last summer, and it was pretty cool. So I was like, hey, why not? She could talk about her vinyls. She really likes her vinyls. So
I love my vinyls.
Exactly.
I love my vinyls.
Do you remember what your first vinyl purchase was?
Oh, gosh. My very first. Okay, so first of all, I have to explain to you. Maybe okay. This is something that you don't. I never shared this with you before, but I used to listen to vinyl records when I was a kid because my mom had vinyl records in the house. And one of my most memorable vinyl records that I had, or she had, was Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, Kenny Rogers, the Commodores, right? So technically speaking, I never physically purchased a vinyl record because I was growing up in the age when the cassette tapes were out.
Right, with the Walkmans.
Exactly. And then I started to see the CDs. And then now we're downloading music. But now vinyl records are back.
Yeah, there's been a resurgence.
Exactly.
Everyone's like, everyone goes crate digging now. So
absolutely. And little known fact that you probably don't know, I started to venture into vinyl digging when I dated this Australian DJ.
Oh gosh.
Oh, you know the story?
He was a DJ.
Yeah, he was a DJ, and he has, according to him, he has like tons and tons of vinyl records, because obviously he's a DJ, right? But a real DJ, not a digital DJ, but a DJ that puts the needle on the vinyl and scratches and stuff. And he always buys multiple copies. And one of the songs that I remember, the way that he and I connected, was Rolling Stones' Wild Horses. Alicia Keys and Adam Levine did a rendition of Wild Horses. And I was singing it, loving it. He's like, you know, that's actually a Rolling Stones song. And I was like, oh my God. And then when he went back to Australia, I went vinyl digging for the first time on my own, and I found a Rolling Stone copy of Wild Horses.
Oh, wow. That's mad lucky.
Yes. Sealed. Never opened. Original press. I think I spent like 75 bones on that.
Did you ever open it?
And I mailed it to him in Australia.
Oh, that's nice.
And from what I understand, and he's married, has children, he's moved on. We've both moved on. He still has it, and he hasn't opened it yet. So that was my very first sentimental vinyl record purchase.
Well, that's a cool story. Buying vinyls for love.
Aw, the love that never came to fruition. Anyway, enough of that embarrassing moment. What else you got for me?
Well, I have a few of your vinyls here. If you want to talk about some of them.
Sure. How about we talk about the one that you, when you went first vinyl digging with me in Brooklyn. You
flipped it back.
Yeah, I gotta flip it back. This is your show, bruh. I gave you the mic.
Word. Well, vinyl we have here is We Are the World, written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. And
how'd you know about that song anyway?
Who doesn't know that song?
A lot of people don't.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those, like, those cultural, like...
They don't even play that song anymore. Like, how did, like, you find out about that song?
Kumbaya. It's just like, Kumbaya. It's like pop culture's version of Kumbaya.
Got you. How did you find out about that song? Because I know I didn't play that around the house when you were a kid.
The internet?
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool.
It's just one of those songs you just know. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't met anyone that doesn't know this song, so I don't know. And I forget why I was thinking of this song, but we found it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, we have to get this.
I remember you came over to me, you're like, Mom, look. And I was like, oh, smack, I didn't even know that still existed. And the cover is really cool. It looks like it's 100 of brown...
Ethnic faces. With the sun in the background and the pink clouds. And yeah. It's just beautiful. And everyone's like, oh, they look all innocent.
Yeah, they do look pretty innocent.
Yeah, and I actually watched a video on, like, the process of them, like, making this record. And, like, it was wild. Like, Michael was, like, hitting up everyone. Like, oh, my gosh, like, you guys want to work in this song? Like, it's a beautiful song. And Prince didn't want to work on it for whatever reason.
What?
And, like, it took them forever to
get
everyone.
See, I didn't even know that Prince was even an option.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Learned something new.
Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson hit up Prince. I'm like, oh, you want to work in the song? And then Prince is probably like, nah, whatever. And so I forget why. But it took them a while to get everyone in the same studio. And then I don't know if this is correct, but if I remember correctly, they did it all in one take.
I think they did.
They did, right?
I think they did.
Don't quote us.
Don't quote us. We got to fact check that.
Yeah.
If anybody out there knows the actual facts, as a matter of fact, if you were in the studio and you know when that was taking place, go ahead and shoot us an email at tcsviews@gmail.com, and we'll get you on the line, and, you know, we'll interview you, get you on the podcast, and you can tell us what the process was like. So
yeah, and that was really cool for, like, my first find, like, We Are the World. Hello. Yeah.
That's a good vinyl digging find.
Yeah,
very good. And for the record, folks, it is opened. How much did we get that for? Like, $2?
I think it was five.
$5. Okay, $5. Okay. And I forgot exactly the name of the place. It was...
somewhere in Brooklyn.
I know it was in Brooklyn. That's all I remember.
I remember what it looks like, but I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, me neither.
And, like, the cashiers weren't all excited about it. Like, they didn't care. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, we just found a classic hit that... probably no one's gonna find ever. And like 20 years, like, this is gonna be like
20 more years, because this thing's been out for a minute. Right. It's been more than 20 years since this song's
exactly
been out.
Well, 20 years from the time that we found it, it's gonna be like even more yeah. And they have photos on the back of, like, them in the studio.
Are the words on there, or the lyrics?
Lyrics are on the back too.
And that's what I miss about music today.
Yeah,
like, I remember, and I've shared this story with you before. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember sharing this story with you before, when on Tuesdays, when a new album would drop, I would go to the record store, listen to it before I would purchase it, go home, open up the album or the tape cassette or the CD cassette, and the lyrics would be in there, as well as the producers and who wrote it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there were images in there, all of that. And we don't have that anymore.
Well, I think it's... I don't know. I mean, with, like, all the most recent Kanye albums that I have, save for Yeezus, because Yeezus didn't come with anything, I still have, like, lyrics and stuff, and he still had, like, pictures, and it was pretty cool. Like, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy actually is probably my favorite physical copy of Kanye's albums, because I got the deluxe edition, so mine came with, like, a poster. Mine came with the Runaway short film. Mm-hmm. And mine also came with what else? It came with, like, so the way that the album cover was set up, it was like, obviously it was a sleeve, and then it had like a little, like a frame, and there's 7 cards, and you can switch them in and out to change the album cover. Right, so it's right, like a giant frame, and each card has a painting in it.
Okay, I think I remember
it was really cool.
Right.
And like, I just realized this like a month ago. They're like, whoa, you could change the album cover.
Oh. And like, how long has that album been out though?
It's like, been out since, I think, November of 2009. So,
oh,
like,
wow. And yeah, you're just now realizing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're 2017. And he just realizing. But that's okay. So what else we got? What else we got? What else you want to talk to me about on vinyl records?
We have, let's get one of yours.
Okay.
Well, the rest of these are.
The rest of them. So the idea is you wanted to find out what my top 4 records were?
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
I think that's what I have in my notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what are your top 4 vinyls that you currently own?
Oh, boy. So I have a lot. Well, I don't have a whole bunch because I'm strategically collecting the vinyl records. I don't like to pay more than $25 for a vinyl record.
Do you ever just get vinyls that just look cool because of the cover?
Well, when I used to be a subscriber of Vinyl Me Please, it was given to me as a present. And so they had, in every month they would send you vinyl. You remember this? They would send you.
Yeah, I remember.
It's up on the wall. See all the vinyl covers, the artwork. And the first one that I got was DJ Della. Correct. I didn't even know who he was. And you had to tell me who he was. And so, those are the ones, any cool album covers that I have, it's from when I had a subscription as a birthday present from Vinyl Me Please. But no, I don't dig through. When I go vinyl record digging, I do not dig to look for the covers. I dig for records that remind me of my childhood. I dig for music that reminds me of, you know, certain times of my life and what I was going through at the moments, like, oh my gosh, this is great, monumental. So for example, the one that you got in front of you right now, Gwen Guthrie, her main song, Ain't Nothing Going On But The Rent, that was, I didn't know what that meant at the time. Right. It was a woman empowerment song. The lyrics are, nothing in life is free.
You want to sing it?
I'm not going to sing it. You're going to pay me. But you're only wasting time if your pockets are empty. I've got a lot to, whatever. So it was basically a woman empowerment song that was like, don't even approach me unless you got money in your pocket because I got rent to pay. And the bill collectors are calling.
Right.
And this song came out in the 80s, right? So if they played this song now, which they still do on the R&B station, and that is my song, honey.
Right.
And when I was in high school, I actually sang this song for a talent show. And I was up on the stage like I was Gwen, and I was feeling it. I didn't know what I was singing at the time. But on top of that, it's one of your aunt's favorite songs, Auntie Sharon.
Oh, really?
This is one of her favorite songs.
She kind of looks like Aunt Carla.
You think? Yeah, she does look like Aunt Carla. But Auntie Sharon loves this song. And I remember singing it. And my drama teacher, he was like, you're good. You should be something. And I never pursued that. I never pursued the entertainment business, but whatever. But yeah, so when I saw this album, when I was vinyl digging, it just brought back all those memories.
Right. And you had to get that.
I had to get it. And it's only that song on there. She has.
Oh, it's one of the singles.
Yeah, it's one of the singles, and there's different renditions and instrumentals. Right. And it's only that song. Nothing else is on there except for Ain't Nothing Going On But The Rent.
Interesting story. Let's see what else we have here. Ooh, Sade. One of my personal favorites as well.
Yes.
So we have Sade, Stronger Than Pride. Why'd you pick this one out?
Because of you. Now, I love Sade. Sade has this raspy, jazzy, smooth, sensual feel.
Very smooth.
Very smooth. But when I saw it, when I started my vinyl digging quest, I remember it, when I picked this particular album up, I remember when you were younger and you were like, I had gotten you an iPod and I was like, what songs do you want me to put on there? What artists do you like? And you were like, Sadie. And I was like, who's Sadie? And then you start singing, what was the name of the song?
Probably Is It a Crime?
Yes. Is it a crime? Right? Mm. And I was like, oh, you mean Sade. So when I saw this album, I just had to pick it up. And
a nearly 10-year-old story, everyone.
Yes. But hey, he audience out there, this cat has got the best ear for music. And I'm not just saying this because he's my son, but he really does have really good taste for music. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So why do you like Sade?
I like Sade because you guys would always play her. Like, you and my dad just always played Sade, like on the weekends, Sundays in particular. Sade, Erykah Badu.
Yes.
The Black Album from Jay-Z.
Yes.
Like,
that was on CD.
Yeah.
Erykah Badu was on CD.
Yeah, I mean, all Erykah, the stuff was on CD
too. Yeah. I don't have Erykah or Jay-Z on vinyl. I just saw a vinyl for Jay-Z, the Black Album. It was like $50. I was like, nah, yeah, bruh. Nah.
That album was crazy.
But on a vinyl record, though?
A lot of rappers, their vinyls are like super expensive.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe it's because it's contemporary, but
I don't know. But yeah, what else you got for me?
Well, I mean, the Sade album, you know, it's just like, I love Sade.
All right.
Let's see what else you got.
Yeah, let's see.
You have Tina Turner.
Yes.
Private Dancer.
Yes. So Tina Turner, I never, when I was growing up, I didn't know her story about her being involved, being a victim of domestic violence. So that's not why I picked it up. I picked it up because there was number one, I didn't know what private dancer meant. Mm-hmm. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for love. She was a prostitute.
Right.
I had no idea until I became older. But I used to clean the house to that song. And when she came out with What's Love Got to Do With It, I had no idea that was her breaking out from Ike Turner. And I just remembered her walking down the streets of what I thought was New York City. I think it was New York City where she shot that video. And that's when MTV had first came out and all just the music.
Started doing Black People.
And I was just like, wow, that's what Tina Turner looks like. And I'm gonna have that hair. I didn't know it was a wig. I'm gonna have them legs. I didn't know she had them insured, but like, she is the epitome of my childhood and one of my greatest escapes. Whenever I was going through things, I would, you know, turn on the radio and she would always be playing. Mm. So yeah, when I picked that up, I was like, yes. When I found that, I was like, yes, Tina Turner. And then, do you know I have two copies of this one?
No,
Tina Turner,
I didn't know.
Private Dancer. I'm so obsessed with this woman that when I went vinyl digging, I didn't realize I had already had this one until I start, you know, putting away the newest purchase in alphabetical order. I was like, oh, I already have this one.
It's already there.
One I play, the other one I don't. And they're both open, so unsealed.
All right. Well, wait, you have two more besides this
one? No, I have. So I have Tina Turner, Private Dancer.
Right.
I have the same album, the one with her in a black leotard and of the black fishnet stockings. And she's sitting on top of a white something with her. I don't even know what that is, but I should redo this photo shoot because, yes, honey, she's doing it. I love it. And just Google Tina Turner, Private Dancer, watch the video and look for the album, the album cover. Look, can you flip over the album cover? I just want to see. Yeah, and it's just her legs. Boom.
That's where boom. SpongeBob got this from.
Oh, what?
In the SpongeBob.
I was not expecting that. What do you mean?
In the SpongeBob movie, there's like a song at the end, and then Patrick turns into a giant, and he's wearing heels, and he has a fishnet, and he's wearing the leotard.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, and like, I never knew, like, I didn't know if that was a cultural reference, and obviously.
What song was he singing?
A reference to some song they made up for the movie, Goofy Goobers. It's probably like a cover. And they
probably sampled one of these songs off of Tina Turner.
I'm a Goofy Goober, rock. 10 minute. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. But
yeah, I like, wow, that's cool.
Now I have to go made watch the SpongeBob movie and get that reference with Patrick. Okay, and then the last album.
Last one here is, The Color Purple soundtrack.
Okay, so.
I know this one's like special.
Oh, that's super special for a number of reasons. But I want to talk about E.T.
That's so off topic.
Totally off topic, but no, it's not. So soundtracks. I had no idea that movies had these soundtracks and they were selling them.
Like the Lion King one, you got me.
Right.
Well, Tony, but...
Tony's his sister. Okay, so everybody doesn't know how many children I got. I only have two, y'all. So my very first soundtrack that I had was from E.T. And I didn't know the significance behind it, behind, you know, Michael Jackson, E.T., right? And I had it, and it was a double album. Michael Jackson was the narrator on the soundtrack.
That's really cool.
Right? And there's this one song that sticks with me today. It goes, somewhere in your heart reaches out to you and touches off a spark that goes shining through. It tells you never be afraid. Yeah, whatever. And it keeps going on. So I have been looking for that album ever since I started collecting vinyl records.
Right.
Which leads me to The Color Purple that's sitting in front of us right now. So when I saw this, I was like, this is one of my favorite movies on top of E.T. and Forrest Gump. I have the Forrest Gump soundtrack on CD.
Do you really?
Yes, you have. Yes.
I thought I found it on the internet. I don't remember.
No. We have it here on CD.
Oh.
But the fact that I have the when I found The Color Purple on vinyl record, I was like, this is one of my favorite movies. It's about... Or at least the way that I was able to connect to it. Like if we had podcasting back then when this movie came out, I would have been like, oh my God. Oh my God. I know exactly what it feels like to be that, you know, for someone to call me black and you ugly and da da da, you know, and then being that woman who came up out of, you know, trials and tribulations. And so I felt like I directly connected with the character Celie, who Whoopi Goldberg plays. I didn't have a Mista in my life. I didn't, my storyline with her did not 100% connect like that.
Right.
But there are songs on there. Well, there's this one song called God Is Trying to Tell You Something. And it's when Shug Avery, she was up in the juke joint singing her little, you know, unsanctified songs.
Right.
And her daddy's church was singing, God's trying to tell you something. And then she just, Miss Celie was just like, all right, I'm going to church. And they all went from the juke joint to the church. And till this day, I still cry at that scene. I don't know why, especially when she hugs her dad and she's like, see, daddy, sin has got soul too, or something like that. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, that's why I picked up. Those are the number of reasons why I picked up The Color Purple. One, because you never, back then, dark skinned women were not portrayed as beautiful.
Even now. Well, they have white models.
Speak on it. Speak
they
on
have
it.
White models dressing up as black women, and it's ridiculous. I just shared this with someone today, actually, because they just didn't know. I'm like, man, they got Gigi Hadid, which is like, I think she's like 18. Her other sister's also a model, dated The Weeknd, whatever. Anyways, she had like blackface on, but not like the old school blackface. It was like, so you actually look like a person.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had good makeup.
She had good makeup. And she looked like she was black, and like she had on a wig. It was like this huge afro. It was ridiculous. I'm like, wait, is she black? Like when I first saw it, like you couldn't see through. Yeah, you wouldn't.
And
think.
It makes you wonder: couldn't they have found a black model?
Exactly. There's plenty of black naturalistas out there that they could have used instead of this.
The Cody household is full of naturalistas, by the way. Anybody out there listening, we right here.
Coconut oil.
Okay. Shea butter. Yes. So, but that's interesting. I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. You can't really blame the model.
Yeah, but
you have to blame the advertisers. You have to blame the editor in chief of that magazine that let it.
She could have backed out of it though.
She could have, but she was only 18. Like how was she really connected with how many black friends she got?
I don't know, but I mean,
because if she had black friends, they would be like, girl, no, don't do it.
I mean, if your sister's dating someone from the hip hop community, I would assume you.
But
have
The Weeknd is very light skinned, bruh. And we don't know what they're talking
he's
about.
He's Ethiopian, man. And he speaks.
Is he black?
He speaks.
And he's real light skinned.
Well, I guess. But like his whole squad's black. They're all like, I don't know. I just don't think it's like cool.
No, I agree with you. But I don't think she was mature enough to make those decisions on herself, for herself. I think she was just like, oh, I'll do it. Okay, great. She's 18. I mean, how many 18-year-olds you know make wise decisions?
I mean, I'm 19 years old, and I wouldn't put on white face.
Dude,
I wouldn't put on a white face. Oh, but wait. And then put on a white wig. Like.
But the Wayans, who are those? Marlon Wayans?
But that was like Martin a parody Lawrence. Movie. White
oh,
chicks?
Come on.
That's a parody so movie the black about folk, white girls.
So the black folk can poke fun, but the white folk can't do it?
Oh, what movie was it?
I'm
oh my
gosh.
The
Devil's Advocate right
what
here.
What movie was it? It came out in like...
In the 80s? The Soul
no,
Man?
No. It came out like 1912 or like 1907. I think it was called like Made in America. No. Oh my gosh. Dang, if anyone could...
I don't know. Oh
my gosh.
Who starred in it? Who are you talking about?
So basically the movie was... It was pretty much like a precursor to like the past 100 years of history. Mm. Pretty much. It was like... KKK members like riding around, and then they had the black predator, which is the black man like trying to rape this white woman and assault her, and rather than be raped, she was just like, oh, I'm just gonna jump off the cliff and kill myself.
Oh
yeah, it's not a cool. Very dark film. And then the KKK members or someone comes in to apprehend the black man, and then I think they hang him or something, and everyone's like, yay, like everyone's all happy. It's a very grim movie.
Wait,
but
so what does that have to do with black face and white face?
There's, I don't remember, but like,
so off topic.
No, it is on topic because okay. I don't remember. I don't even remember if I had a part with black face in it, and I was hoping I would remember that, but it's just like, I feel like, you know how Donald Trump is like, make America great again, like build
number
the wall.
Number 45, we do not say his name in this
whatever.
House.
How he's like very prejudiced against Mexicans. And I read an article yesterday about college students that took a trip to Cancun, and they were being very, very hostile and rude to Mexican employees, and they've been like, they've been speaking out to their, like the employees have been speaking out like, yo, like, these visitors are on our, like, they're in our country, like, being like, oh, like,
yeah,
I'm, like, down with Mexicans.
And we
like,
can't
that's
be
not
doing
cool.
That.
Like,
we can't
wall.
Be going over there.
Right. That's
all
not
stupid.
Cool at all.
That's not cool. It's the time that we live in, so.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Moving back on topic to.
Sorry, went off on tangent.
Went off a little rant.
A little rants, ranty rants. But
you
I
said
think,
speak on it, so I spoke
yeah,
on
I know.
It.
I wanted you to speak on it. It's very great to get insight from the younger generation. So what is this here? What do you
Your
putting?
Final piece here you have is Whitney Houston.
Yes. Her first album, her debut album. Whitney Houston's Saving All My
Love.
Oh,
it's just self-titled?
Yeah, it's self-titled. Oh. It's Saving All My... Well, read off the name of the song in the back. Greatest Love of All is on there.
Yes, You Give Good Love, yes. Thinking About You, Someone For Me, mm-hmm. Saving All My Love For You, of mm-hmm. course. Everyone knows that one.
Not everybody. You I know mean, it, because yeah. I play it.
I mean, in the movies, you know. Nobody Loves Me Like You Do. Mm-hmm. How will
I
know?
And that was sung with Jermaine Jackson, right? Nobody Loves Me Like You Do.
Let's see. Yep.
Jermaine Jackson.
Do it with Jermaine mm-hmm. Jackson. Mm-hmm. How Will I Know? I love that song.
So let me give you a little history on this album. So when I first got this album, it was actually in a cassette tape. And this is for those of you out there listening who are probably in my age group or not. The album cover is Whitney Houston. Her hair is slicked back. She has imitation pearl necklace and a coral draped, off the shoulder kind of thing going on. And her skin is just beautiful. It's when she was much, 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 much younger, when she just got into the game. And she's just stunning. Now, I had this album when I was a kid.
You know she's from Newark? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, she's a Jersey girl. R.I.P. Whitney.
Jersey.
I got this album as a gift on a cassette tape from one of my dearest friends in high school, Sean Porter. Sean Porter, if you're listening, big up. And I listened to that. I knew every word. I knew every beat. I knew when she was going to come, everything. And so, and then when I started my vinyl collection, my boyfriend, Manny, he's the one that actually gave me my first couple of albums. And this is vinyl records. And this is the one.
Oh, that's
this
nice.
Is the one.
And did he know to get that one?
No. It was actually in one of the houses he was living in, and the owner was selling the house, and they had like these secret passageways, and they had a whole bunch of vinyl records. And he was like, Tamika, come look, there's a whole bunch of vinyl records in here. And this is one of the ones that were in there. And I took it.
Of course.
And I was like, ew, Whitney. So I have, yeah, she's looking at me. I love her. I love,
what's the significance of this album and like what Whitney means to you? Like, Why is this your favorite?
When I was younger, this always goes back to when I was a kid. When I was younger, I used to sing around the house a lot. I used to sing often.
Like I do.
Right? And I wanted to be, you know, like every little girl, I wanted to be an actress and a singer. But everybody was singing Whitney, but I was singing Whitney, right? And my family's Jamaican. And I remember one summer I was in Jamaica with my older sister Sharon, and I was singing The Greatest Love of All, and I was little kids who sing popular music, that's like, oh my gosh, you should be. And so then I went back home to America. I was like, I'm gonna be. And my mom's like, oh no, you will not, because all singers, and you've heard me say this over and over again, but this is not what I believe, this is what my mom, your grandmother, past grandmother, you say, she was like, all actresses are drug users and whores. And so I was just like, in my mind, I was like, not Whitney. And so when Whitney was in the news, or when I started to pay attention in my older years before Whitney had passed away about her drug problem and everything, that little thing that my mom had said was in the back of my head. And then when she passed away from apparently a cocaine overdose, I don't even know if that was confirmed or not, but I took that very hard. I don't know if you remember, but
yeah, you were crying. I was for like, days. No one could play Whitney Houston for like a good year.
Yeah, like a solid good
it was
year.
Forbidden.
It was forbidden. Like, we could not listen to The Greatest Love of All. It was just like The Greatest Love of All and I Will Always Love You. Gosh. Whitney Houston's version. And the reason why it hit me so hard is because all I remembered was my mom saying what she said about indirectly about
Whitney. It's just like, how could
Whitney's.
She?
Like, how could she say that about? And then when, you know, it was on the record. Whitney was up there talking about crack is whack, crack is cheap. I was like, oh my God, no, no, you're not the one that does the, the cocaine and the crack. And it was just like, for me, it was a huge defeat. And I was just like, oh man, but I still love Whitney. Now I can listen to her songs. And her newer stuff before she had passed, every once in a while I will shed a tear just right. because it's just like, it's not so much of her star power. It was the lyrics that she sang, the words that were behind it.
Like how it connected to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, one of her last songs, I Didn't Know My Own Strength. That song. No lie, makes me, when I'm by myself, I'd be shedding a tear. You're like, why is she tearing up? It's because it just really speaks to me. So Whitney Houston, her original album and her last couple of songs, definitely my favorite. So, and I'm going to just stop talking now.
You take a break to cry.
No, take a break to reflect. Yes. So, anyway, but that's all I got for you.
Oh, I have one more question, actually.
Okay.
Are there any specific vinyls you're in search of right now?
Yes. Anything Erykah Badu, anything Maxwell, anything Jill Scott, anything Justin Timberlake.
Should get some JT.
Yeah. I mean, I have all of them on, on CD. Or downloaded from iTunes, but there's something about when you listen to music on the vinyl, when that needle hits the record and there's that crackling sound and it just sounds better.
Yeah. Well, vinyls actually do sound better. It's a different sound quality. Because a lot of the music we get like through iTunes or like MP3 files, like those files are compressed, like super duper compressed, and it, like, some of the sound is cut out and you're really not getting as good as a quality as you should be getting from, say, buying a CD or getting a vinyl record. So you're right with that.
Yeah. So, and then I also would like to add Otis Redding and Percy Sledge. Those are the two
that I don't know. Percy Sledge.
Percy Sledge. Otis Redding and Percy Sledge were R&B artists from back in the 60s. Mm. And I used to clean the house right. to those records. So, and I just want them back in my life. So, so I'm looking for those, but I refuse to spend any more than $20.
I thought you were going to say 50.
No, because they're smaller albums, right? And a lot of these, before vinyl records came back on the scene, I used to go to my thrift stores or my vinyl record stores and pay no more than $2 per record.
What's the most you paid for a vinyl?
The most I've paid, the Adele and the Amy Winehouse and the D'Angelo, 25. If it's something that I really want, I just purchased, what's his name? Chris Stapleton, country and Western singer. And then, what's his name? Leon. Oh, I forgot his name. Leon Bridges.
Mm. Yo, know what's crazy?
Yeah.
The night that you showed me Leon Bridges, I went into work the next day.
And they were playing.
And yeah, one of my coworkers was like, hey, like, you want to listen to like something like, similar to, I forget if she was playing, similar to so-and-so, like, listen to Leon Bridges. And I was like, oh, who's that? And I was like,
oh, my mom, like, just showed
yeah, me. Like a couple songs. And I'm like, oh, like my mom just showed me this like yesterday.
Leon Bridges, I really like his style. I love his fashion sense. That's what drew me to him first. I never had listened to any of his songs. I was just like, this brother can dress. And he has a style from the 1960s. And his music is like from the 1960s, that doo-wop kind of thing. And I was just like, all right, I see you, So
it's a little retro.
Yes, very. And so it's vintage, it's retro, and yeah, Leon Bridges, Chris Stapleton, those are like my two most recent purchases. And Chris Stapleton I actually bought on CD about a year ago when I saw him on, I think, the Grammys or the American Music Awards. Mm. And he and Justin Timberlake were performing Drink You Away. And, you know, I'm a big JT fan. Right. And I was like, all right, I love you, JT, but who's this cat in the background? Like, who's this country guy? And his voice is powerful. And the message, or not even a message, just his heartache and pain about love. I was just like, yeah, I loved it. So I'm a sucker for that stuff. So yeah.
Who isn't, though?
Right? Well, you'd be surprised. Some people don't really have a solid foundation or appreciation of music. So
for love songs?
For love. You'll be surprised.
I'm very surprised right now.
You'll be surprised. Like, we've got some really good, we meaning R&B, soul, right? We have some really great tracks out there from dating back to like years and years ago. And just the other day, I was listening to Jodeci. I was like, man, that was some love song right there. Forever My Lady.
Oh gosh.
Okay. I'm just like, man, like, and then D'Angelo's, How Does It Feel? And even, Lauryn Hill's, Misunderstanding of the Miseducation. Yes. And it's just like, no, I feel like nobody's really singing those types of songs anymore. And it's just, so whenever I
have Adele.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm talking Adele, British R&B singer.
You're talking about like deep.
I'm talking about deep in love to make you been like get either cry through some shit or get you through some heartache. And yeah, like Jill Scott.
Oh,
the first Who is Jill Scott? Please got me through some heartache, bruh. I played that for years. And now it's just like now when I listen to it, I was like, wow. She really helped me get through some stuff. Maxwell?
Frank Ocean. Contemporary.
Okay. All right, so he gonna bring up Frank
Ocean. Throw one in there.
That's another episode. So you need to wrap this podcast up, bro. I let you talk long enough on Better Sit Than Rent.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So do the outro, bro, real quick. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on SoundCloud. My SoundCloud is UNIVRSE. Yes, I know I spelled it UNIVRSE. The first E is missing on purpose for copyright issues.
You don't have to. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I was like, you don't have to explain. Okay, just like The Weeknd, right? The Weeknd.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And then, I love The Weeknd. So. And so you're on SoundCloud. What kind of music can they look out for?
Right now on my SoundCloud, all my songs are rap songs. But I'm working on songs where I rap and like it's more sunny. Like none of my beats are bought online. I've produced everything that I'm recording right now. One song I'm in the process of mixing. It's like hip hop, and then it kind of goes into like a Quiet Storm R&B vibe. Like I really like it. It might be one of my favorites, and then. Yeah, a lot of tracks is more like trying to incorporate more singing as well. So, more melodic, cadences just to try and mix it up. Cause like rapping, like we've heard rap for like the past, 30 years, 40 years.
You haven't been alive for 30 years.
I know I haven't, but like, I don't know. It's like, I just kind of want to switch it up.
I got you. Okay. Universe, my son, Anthony. Are you going to do a closing for thank you for?
Better? I was going to.
Okay, go ahead, bro.
So, find me on SoundCloud, UNIVRSE. It should be a picture of me with like sitting with like a blue background. It's a really nice picture. But Mom, Tamiko, however I should address you over
I'm
podcast.
I'm not his mother.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking over the show. It was great. I love talking about music with you. I've been begging him to do a podcast with me for ages.
Well, I said yes to one, and then we just never did it.
And now we've been on here for, what, 45 minutes?
Dang.
Anyway, so ooh, you all, audience out there, thank you so much. Sorry this was such a long one, but I'm not sorry. Because this has been a process in the making, and anything that I can do to help the youth push through with their dreams and their
dreams
goals
and aspirations.
Aspirations.
They will come into fruition.
There we go. All right. Until next time, this is Tamika Cody with Better Said Than Written and
Anthony, aka Universe.
Yeah.